A warm welcome to the second episode of the All Clear to Travel podcast. I'm Gary Nelson, Head of Corporate Affairs at All Clear. In this brand new podcast, we'll be talking to industry experts and people involved in travel to get their perspectives on some of the major issues shaping the travel insurance industry today. We are again going to be looking at our own research on non or partial disclosure of medical conditions. We'll explore why this happens, the risks involved, and how common misunderstandings can leave holidaymakers vulnerable when things go wrong. I'm thrilled to be joined by Alex Mendes from Zurich Insurance, who will be sharing his insights into what's really going on, where some of the misunderstandings lie, and what holidaymakers and the industry can do to avoid costly mistakes. That's a very warm welcome, Alex. Thank you very much for joining us for the second of the All Clear to Travel podcasts. It's great to have Zurich represented here, and great to have you here with us. I think where I'd like to start with this really is around kind of the relationship that we have between All Clear as a provider and Zurich as a very credible underwriter. So I think, you know, for those listening, it'd be interesting to get your take on about how that works and what kind of impacts it has.
Yeah, absolutely. Firstly, Gary, thank you for having us and me personally on this podcast. Great to join and hopefully useful for the listeners. I think for me, this is about compatibility in the relationship that the two businesses have together. And I think most importantly, ultimately, it's bringing the claims promise that our products are issuing out to customers to life. If you think about, and this is where I love the travel insurance industry, if you think about the principle of it, that claim is that moment of promise or that moment of truth for a customer, often in a highly emotive and highly vulnerable position. And that's where they need the insurance policy to play a critical role in getting them either into a safe spot or getting them treated effectively or potentially getting them home in some rather more complex scenarios that a policyholder may have.
Yeah, I mean, it's a critical relationship, and certainly we, as a provider, can't function without the support of an underwriter in that moment of need. I guess, thankfully, for most people, they've not actually been in that scenario and necessitated that interaction. But I think one of the things probably I'd like to understand, I'm sure those people who haven't been in it would, you know, almost kind of what's going on behind the scenes, so to speak, when somebody who may be a long way from home, having a loved one suddenly rushed into hospital with what might be a serious medical emergency, what's going on behind the scenes? At what point, obviously, there'll be a contact made with the underwriter, with the claims team, and so what support is put in place? I think it's very, very important for people to understand that there is a massive support network around there globally.
Yeah, it's a great question to ask. For me, I don't see it as behind the scenes necessarily, Gary. So the critical thing we would always ask of a customer of ours collectively is that, you know, the minute you recognise there's some trouble afoot, medical issues, get on the phone to your assistants, to your insurer, and our assistants' claims support will be there. Now, they, you know, obviously there might be a need to get to a facility and get immediate treatment because some circumstances demand that. Because it's that life threatening that care first and get your sort of your guidance from how your insurance policy can provide against it second. But really, the quicker you can get to an assistance claims advisor, the quicker you can be steered either to the right facility. You might just get some guidance to certain treatments. Now, this is not sort of GP advice, but this is actually an understanding of the geography that you're in or the location that you're in, a deeper understanding of what care quality and availability there is around you, and trying to divert you there as soon as possible. Expediency is the key. And I think that's the one thing that we've really learned over time is the later that we learn of the issue that a customer has, the minute you're trying to play catch up and help them. So speed is of the essence really on trying to notify us, and then we can try and direct. The key bits to probably be aware of when you mention support and behind the scenes then is how we can help with our global network of suppliers that can help from anything from repatriating people home and making sure that's done in the most cost-effective manner or expedient manner, to potential other care that could be in surrounding geographies or surrounding locations. And then some of the obvious bits, as you say, it's a highly emotive time, not just for the vulnerable individual, but the vulnerable relatives of yeah. that individual that might be in the same location. They might be X thousand miles away, panicking, understandably, about their loved ones. So that could be something as simple as language barriers, but it could be some other cultural nuances that they're just, again, that global reach that our claims capabilities will have should just help steer people through as effectively as possible.
Brilliant. And there's a reason for me asking that question, because having worked as closely as I have with you, but we're kind of together noticing, and in fact our All Clear research sort of backs it up, that we're seeing an increasing number of people under-declaring on their medical condition, and that has major repercussions, or can have potentially, when it comes to a claim. And we have seen some of these instances in more recent times, and a trend is developing. Many of whom I'm sure are unknowingly doing that. But, you know, from a underwriting perspective, what complications, what ambiguities does that throw up at that critical time when you're needing help?
Yeah, there's a few bits to unpack there, really. I think I mentioned about speed being of the essence just now, and I think that the same applies in that scenario where the full medical circumstances of that individual are not fully known. They may start to be uncovered whilst that individual is under the care of a local facility. The risk then is twofold. The care facility are there to give care, but I think we also have to recognise they're under the local health economy that they're in, and that is quite often a private institution trying to operate as a private business. The challenge, I guess, we have to think about is, It's a basic principle of insurance, but we talk about utmost good faith in the industry, and that's built in through contract law and the principles of every policy wording of every product in this country. And really what that's asking for is a similar collaboration that you and I were talking about at the outset between the policyholder, or the person trying to get a policy, and the insurer that's going to take what we class as that risk or that customer on. And in simple terms, the more that the insurer knows and understands about the person trying to be insured, the better they can fit the terms of the policy to that individual. And I think that becomes very dangerous if there are, in a travel policy, where there are previous medical conditions that are just probably blissfully, unawarely, just left off the details put forward, or they're not deemed or not thought to be crucial enough information, but that could have a paramount importance, not just from a potentially a price perspective, which is probably a customer concern here, but actually far more importantly, it's the connectivity of certain issues that in an insurer's eyes could change their view of that risk. Now, every insurer wants to try and insure as many people as they can and reach customers, but the reality is every insurer will have an appetite to how much risk they take.
Absolutely,
And therein lies the danger, Gary, is in a scenario where an insurer would not want to offer terms to a potential customer, there will be other providers out there that can. We're almost wasting each other's time, because the contractual protections are there for an insurer to say, you know, we wouldn't want to insure you had we known the full circumstances. They're very rare examples that we don't want to sort of drive towards, and we always want to try and support a customer in a time of need, but on what basis? I think that's the challenge here. The real issue for me, though, is the time it takes to get to that point. And we're not talking here about a piece of property that has significant bearings on its local community or a family or whatever it be, but this is someone's life slash health. And so as we will keep saying probably throughout this conversation, speed will be of the essence. And the minute we're having to try and revert to the local GP for medical notes, we're starting to get into trouble, because someone's going down a care pathway in whatever facility they're in around the world, and our ability to try and influence and support that is impeded very quickly whilst we sit there chasing down medical notes that we can't even we can't base assumptions on.
Yeah, and I guess the complication is, and I think something that we've all seen since COVID is the ever-increasing medical bill that we're seeing. Mm-hmm. Inflation is running, particularly in North America, comes to mind. But medical inflation around the world is based on the dollar primarily. And you will have seen, without a shadow of doubt, the sort of inflation impacting on medical emergency costs. And of course, when you start to see claims running into the hundreds of thousands of pounds, mm-hmm. and in certain cases now even beyond that, it's a mm-hmm. massive worry when there's ambiguity in a contract between the customer and the underwriter.
Yeah, which is clearly not the intent of either party going into that contract, right? But it's just that extra stop and check from both sides to make sure the information is known, understood, and we challenge ourselves very hard on making sure we're working with yourselves, that we're asking the right questions, we're presenting information in the right way so that a customer, when they're taking out a policy with All Clear and Insure and Go and Zurich support, are fully understanding of what they are covered for and what they are not covered for and some of the conditions around the policy. I think the danger here is that there is often a risk of it won't happen to me, or it's a lower priority thing at the time of go and book a holiday. The general advice out there or guidance out there is to go and take your travel insurance policy out straight away. Absolutely makes sense. That gives you the greatest opportunity around the cancellation risk that's there to sort of maximize the benefit of that cover. We fully endorse that as well. The risk the other way then is that the human beings covered under that policy, their physical condition will evolve over that period of weeks, months, even maybe before a trip. And it's the policyholder's responsibility to make sure they're keeping the insurer informed, which means ultimately they're coming back to your contact center or checking back in online or through emails, whatever it be, to keep in touch on any potential change to their physical condition that could have an impact on the terms of the policy. It is the policyholder's responsibility only because they're the ones who know. We can't know that from afar as two businesses working together.
I guess that's kind of exacerbated by the prevalence of web journeys now and websites without the ability to basically directly talk to another human being. The ambiguity there, certainly after COVID, with the extra long waiting lists, people 2 years down the line after COVID probably not been to see a doctor, medical conditions could have exacerbated, and then boom, everyone, and quite understandably, starting to go on holiday and thinking, I've not had a holiday for 2 years, so I'm going to have a really, really good time. So, yeah,
absolutely, absolutely. But there's a to what extent point here, isn't there, about how much of your own physical condition you know, as I think you and I once spoke about, you know, with our better halves, you know, do we know every ailment that they've had over the last 2 years? Probably not offhand, right? I think the key bit here is just taking that extra time and recognition when you are taking a policy out to make sure that you are just challenging yourself and thinking through and challenging anyone else on the policy about, have we got everything covered here? It's that extra attention to detail at the time that will save inordinate amounts of time if and when assistance is needed when you're at your most vulnerable. I think that's the key bit.
Yeah. Well, that's great advice. And one that people do need to be aware of, because again, the research is tending to point to the fact that people don't really understand how much some of these bills can be, even close to home. I mean, a lot of people, I think it's about 15% of people, perhaps even higher, were indicating that they would, if they were going on a short haul holiday, they wouldn't bother with travel insurance. I think there's a misguided perception of what the GHIC can do, and I think we both know that's no substitute for travel insurance. Some of the bigger claims we see, certainly in Europe, come from Spain, which is the most popular destination for Brits, of course. So I don't know if you've got any thoughts on...
Well, look, the Association of British Insurers have released their latest stats available are from 2023 claims. Obviously, that was in the immediate rush post-COVID where everyone was out travelling a lot. But from what was just over £500 million of claims paid out by the industry, I think it was my recall's correct, I think 57% of those claims were medical assistance claims, right? And that's most of the focus area of what we're talking about at the minute. Now, from those claims, I think it was 14 to 15% of those emanated from Spain. Now, you can overlay that with travel patterns of our, you know, tourists coming from our country going out overseas, but it is that short haul mentality that does add some risk, actually, because it's a quicker, easier booking path. It's a quicker, easier journey. Access last few years may have changed slightly, but access in and out of those countries is easier as well, yeah. Generally speaking. But then you add in some other nuances, and the big one for me, I mean, you referred to the GHIC earlier. You know, I say this as a child of two parents from overseas. We're incredibly privileged in this country to have a national health service that, whilst it's of high political value and can become a real point of debate for our politicians, the reality is we're incredibly lucky to have it. And a downside of that, in my opinion, is that we don't understand the true cost of care in this country, which means if we're going overseas, generally speaking, we probably take a tinge of, I'm speaking personally here, but I would like to think a number of people take a tinge of naivety with them when they go abroad, because if something were to happen, the cost of getting patched up for a bad graze on the arm by having a fall is probably quite a surprising number to have to fork out when you're overseas. Obviously, a lot of the time people do go to the worst case scenarios, in, as you said, into the hundreds of thousands and potentially more now. None of that is a scaremongering tactic. It's just the reality of in this country, you know, at your time of most need, the health service is there for you and will find its best way to support you. And that's a critical factor just to bear in mind here, because the, you know, ultimately that liability of cost falls onto an individual overseas when they're traveling, unless there's a travel insurance policy in place that, you know, that's applicable at that time.
Yeah. And I guess what people also don't, we hear a lot of the time, comment that we very often hear is around, how on earth can the cost of the travel insurance be more than my holiday? But for the vast majority of people go away on holiday and don't have an issue. But, you know, when their renewal, for example, in a year's time goes up quite considerably and they haven't made a claim, they don't really understand the logic of that. They're used to kind of, well, I've had my car insurance, didn't claim last year, so I get a no-claims discount. So it'd be great if you can share a sort of little bit of perception, a bit of light on what's going on there as well.
Probably two directions to try and go on there. So I'll try and sort of do one after the other without tangling myself up. But the first part probably is about how an insurer tries to price, right? So insurance is based off pooling a number of customers or risks that are of a very similar shape and nature. So we would probably look at our travel insurance customers by and large as one. What you then try and do is make sure you're collecting an appropriate amount of premium from all of those customers to make sure that you're to cover the cost of the claims that are going to have to be paid out. So there's a lot of data analysis done on previous experiences, extrapolating potential future impact, things like medical inflation, like you talked about before. Some of that can be quite unstable, is probably too harsh a word, but unpredictable at the minute. When you think about some of the political and economic changes around the world going on in recent times and how quickly things can move from a global geography perspective. But the reality is you're trying to, from your customer base, take enough premium to pay claims. And as a business, and we are a business and we answer to our shareholders as well as our local communities and our employees, we have to make sure we create enough return from that for our shareholders. And trying to balance all that is obviously a very fine line, and people far, far more intelligent than me have to work out the sums to do that, Gary. But the key point there is that you will have a spectrum of, and I'm sorry to talk about human beings as risks here, but you take a spectrum of customers where some are far more likely to claim than others. A very stark point for me and my family is one of my family can't be, not my immediate family, but one of my wider family cannot be insured at the moment to go to the US for various health reasons. Now, that has oscillated over time where, and it's partly because of her own health and that evolving, as well as insurers' own appetite for some of those risks evolving because of the cost of care in the US and other things. So I guess an insurer is there to try and manage that pool of risks as a whole, we as consumers understandably are looking at ourselves as the most important person in that. Quite right. The reality is some people will have a far higher risk of claiming. And that's the same in any insurance product. That is just a principle of insurance and how it works. The other bit, just to divert to a second means of answering that question, I guess, is, and it was your comment around the sort of the home of the motor insurance lines, that's an interesting one. I said earlier about we're very used to having a national health service that foots the bill for us indirectly. We all pay our taxes, but you know, ultimately we receive that care then for free back. What you have to consider with those other two product lines is that motor insurance is a statutory requirement. You own a car, you put it on the road, it must be insured. That's a legal requirement. Home insurance, by and large, is a contractual requirement, unless you're very fortunate not to have a mortgage.
Yeah.
But even then, it's one of the most critical assets you have in your life, and you probably want to protect it in some shape or form. But principle being that you're in a far more, almost, it's not enforced, but far more enforced position to have to insure those assets. We don't see ourselves as assets, obviously, quite rightly. We're human beings, but we have to go out and physically seek a travel insurance policy because we think that's worth it.
Yeah.
And therein lies the tension, it's almost the impasse between a policyholder saying, well, you're offering me this insurance policy for a certain amount of money. Do I feel that's worth it? Yes or no? Now, with motor insurance, we've gone through a few years where the costs have absolutely ramped up for a variety of factors, Gary. But the reality is, as consumers, we have to suck it up and pay it if we want to drive our car, or we declare our car off the road and don't insure it or sell it on or whatever we do. Travel, it's a far easier decision to make. And there is the risk of just not being insured. They're the blunt extremes, aren't they? There's a risk of not being insured, or you go very diligently and insure yourself for the most appropriate amount you think you need to be. I think the danger area we're talking about here is actually that middle ground, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's people saying, well, I know I need travel insurance, but either because the cost feels prohibitive to me or because just unfortunately I wasn't clear enough on what I needed to declare, or didn't understand something about a member of my family's medical condition that is with me in a traveling party. You push a button, you say yes, without intending to cause harm, but an unfortunate set of circumstances somewhere out around the world means that that comes to light as a problem, and then we're all in the storm as how do we try and sort that individual out and get that person effectively cared for in a way that is manageable to them and or us, right? And that's the difficult bit, because we're all trying to help that person, but it's just on what basis?
Yeah, so I guess the question there is, and I agree with you, that the issue does lie in those, between those people who know and absolutely understand, because they may have a series of medical conditions, they may be of a certain age where they won't risk leaving large bills for younger members of the family. But I guess the middle ground bit that we've spoken about is the problem area. So, you know, how do we tip that balance, I guess, would be the question there. What do we need to do? Because rather than scaring people, which none of us want to do, it's about how to get that message across that even if you are travelling to Spain, you still need to have a good level of cover.
Yeah, it's an eternal challenge, right? Yeah. I guess what can we do ourselves, the controllables for us as businesses working together for our combined customer base? The most important thing we're trying to do at the moment is to pick up the anecdotal snippets with claims calls, bits of claims feedback. You know, we do seek claims feedback on every assistance claim if welcomed, but we do read and understand and listen to that. That's, you know, digested and shared around, but it's very hard. It's quite subjective language, so it's very hard to mine and create proper insights out of some of that. We'll keep exploring ways we can do that. But the key bits for me, and I'll take one very specific example because it always sticks in my mind, was an individual on the phone saying, well, they didn't realize they needed to declare that they had high blood pressure because they're taking pills for high blood pressure. So in their mind, the high blood pressure is resolved because the medicine is there designed to treat it.
Yep.
the risk mind in me starts to say what if about 30 times on that. And yeah, that's not a criticism of the individual. It's just unfortunately a difference of perception around that. And that's back on us about how can we ask our questions differently. But the reality is there's still an underlying issue there that's driving that high blood pressure. So, you know, we'll feed that back to make sure that we're evolving our question sets. I'll give you a great example of something we've done together in the last, 9 days, I think, from when this is recorded, that some of the pop-up and the guidance notes that's going through the online journey for your brands and your products is calling out, stopping and checking, trying to take a, I'll call it a flowchart mentality of, you know, if you've got a certain condition, trying to cite some potential connected conditions that we are aware of that tend to go as one to say, as a prompt, you know, just either confirm you haven't got these issues or have you thought about whether you've visited a GP in the last couple of years on this condition to try and, I guess, make sure that the person proposing that policy is really thinking through each and every item. I think one of the biggest dangers around this, Gary, and we do talk about this at length as businesses, but it's worth sharing, is clearly we are dealing with highly sensitive personal information here of, you know, the medical notes of individuals. So it's very dangerous for insurers to start trying to find ways to tap in real time to medical notes of individuals. As a consumer, I personally probably wouldn't be comfortable with that.
Yeah, that's
just my personal perspective, but I'm sure others will be in a similar boat. But all of that is putting the onus back on the policyholder to make sure they're keeping the insurer informed of what's happening to them from a medical perspective. So we have to be very careful in terms of the medical detail that we are recording, that we are in theory then sharing round to yourselves as you know, under the contracts we have, to make sure we're not, you know, ultimately we're doing it for the right reasons with the customer. But what that really means is we need the customer to tango with us and play their part in just keeping us informed.
Yeah, that's a very valid point. And it's absolutely clear to me that you're passionate about your subject. You know a lot about it. I've learned quite a few things already from this discussion. So I'm a little bit more intrigued about Alex the individual. How's your journey into, did you dream as a schoolboy of becoming somebody specialising in travel insurance, for example?
No, and I've worn many hats in my insurance career, Gary. I think sport has been my dominant interest in life. So what we class as accident and health insurance has always been a primary interest for me. Sort of medical disabilities on athletes is really where a lot of my interest has sort of flirted around, really. But my sort of passions for the industry very much are around understanding the customer bases that the business I work for wants to try and operate with, understand their needs, try and build products or propositions or services that matter to them, and ultimately deliver on that and maximize it, because the more people that can protect themselves against some of the risks that they face in life, the better. And I think that there's always an interesting dynamic with this industry, which is, and I'll give you a stat about, you know, some of the fun we've got in the travel industry in a minute, but really, insurance, in my mind, should be there to enable people to do things. It's not a necessity always, that just because you own a car, you must insure it. Actually, it allows you to go out and travel. And in, you know, the class of insurance we're talking about here, that helps people have the confidence to go and see the world. And we think about some of the customers that we've got together, you know, have had a period of real ill health. Some of the language that comes through the contact centres is, you know, I want this to be my last holiday and I want to remember it for the remainder of my life. They don't have an expectancy of the end of their life being around the corner, but they know that they don't have the privilege of getting on a plane and going and travelling like I could in the summer holidays with my family if I wanted. Yeah. So that for me is what makes it emotionally worth it. But what we then want to make sure is that the insurances that those individuals are taking out are actually going to deliver in their time of need. And that just means they need to be set up on the right basis, which means the insurer needs, sorry to harp back on it,
but yeah, no, it's a very important
the insurer
subject,
needs
yeah.
to understand that risk that they are capturing, that they've got the right amount of premium for that risk to feed that pool, to make sure that X percent of that pool that then need that assistance, the one who's got the critical illness that's happened overseas versus the one who just needs to get some minor treatment on a fractured arm, cast or whatever, that they can all get the treatment that they need and safely get patched up to go back and enjoy the remainder of their holiday, albeit under whatever care that they need to keep, or that they're brought back home as safely as they can to get back to home comforts and finish their treatment off appropriately in an environment they're far more comfortable with. There's something in me about helping people. It's just something in my character. And that's for me where the insurance sort of love and interest has probably spawned from.
Yeah, you're being very understated about your talents as a cricketer that I'm aware of. So talking about the fact that the insurance is always a little bit of a dry subject that we try and make as interesting and engaging as possible, but really what we all want to talk about is holidays and looking forward to holidays. So what's the ideal holiday for Alex and family? I mean, might it be watching the Barmy Army in the Caribbean, or what's the dream holiday for you?
Dream holiday. I think my wife and I have got a bit of a bucket list that it's timing it right with the kids. I think
a bucket and spade list. Then, really.
No, I think, well, it's seeing Mickey Mouse this year, which my 2-year-old's very excited about, but
not as much as you, obviously.
August is a long way off, Gary. I'm worried he's going to phase out of it before then, so we can't maximise the songs too much. I think a safari is whether that's along the garden route or a neighbouring country, I think is going to be is going to be the big one. It's just about timing that right with my children and their ages and interest, I guess, in animals.
Absolutely. But
that's one my wife and I have really talked about. I've always had the interest of Canada, just because we're a very active family, so I think it can play to various leisure pursuits, which from a travel insurance perspective obviously has a consideration there about what pursuits you're taking on. So again, you know, because my mind is trained that way, I think like that, but it's a sort of, you know, requirement you need to think about when going traveling somewhere. And at some point down the line, I would quite like my children to see where my parents came from as well. So they've
which is where?
So, well, my mum was from Germany. Probably slightly less exciting, but take my son to the football there. And my dad was from Sri Lanka, is from Sri Lanka. So, again, just going back and seeing some of the buildings there and in the Maldives that he's designed, I'd, you know, quite like to show the kids that one day.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds an amazing trip. I wish you well. I'm absolutely no doubt, of course, that you'll have your travel insurance firmly in place. But it's been a joy and a pleasure to listen to you, to talk so effusively about travel insurance and some of the really genuine things that you need to be aware of and to consider. So thank you so much for joining me, and I hope you've enjoyed the experience. And I hope you get off and enjoy Mickey Mouse in the summer.
Thank you. When do I get to turn the tables and interview you about your football, though? That's the question.
Well, we don't want to bore everyone. Excellent.
Right, do that another time. Thanks, Gary.